I'm Hadassah, and I'm so excited to welcome you to Real Woman, Real Torah, a project of Bacheva Learning Center. We're here to offer you an authentic Torah learning experience, produced for woman, by woman. I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to our monthly Mimer series. I am so excited to welcome Adina Weisner with us today. We're going to be learning a very famous Mimer, Vi'ata Tetzava, in honor of Gimel Tammuz, which is coming up in a few days. And I'm excited to have Adina learn it with us today. Adina, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Hi, my name is Adina Weisner. I work at Ascent in Tzfas, like directing the English program. And I went to Maya Notes, how I know Hadassah, many years ago. And I have a lot to share on this mimer.
Yeah, super excited. And Adina is getting married in a few weeks, and I figured what better preparation for her wedding than recording an episode with me. So thanks for making the time. Okay, so let's start by introducing the mimer a little bit. Tell us a little bit about like the significance of this mimer, you know, for us now and why we're learning it now.
Okay, so this is the last mimer that our Rebbe gave out to us. He edited it and handed it out. And it was originally said back in like 1981. But each Rebbe, when they become Rebbe, they pick up with the mimer that the Rebbe before them ended with. So the previous Rebbe started his Nesias, Reishis Goyim Amalek, because his father, the Rebbe Rashab, his last mimer was Reishis Goyim Amalek. And you could see that was the time of the Holocaust. That was a time of Russia. Like, it was the thing of his Nesias. Actually, it was pointed out really interesting. Somebody, Ascent actually pointed out that, so the Rebbe Rashab was like, Keser Yitnulacha, right? That was his, because it was like, because the three things of anointing a king, getting rid of Amalek, getting rid of Amalek, and then Basi Ligani, like building the base of Mikdash. So like these are like the three things that Mashiach does. So the previous Rebbe ended with Basi Ligani, and then our Rebbe accepted his Nesias with Basi Ligani. So that's the way it's gone. And so for us, our Rebbe left us with this Mimer Vata Tzava. So for us, and our mission is to bring Mashiach. So like, for each of us, and it was the first mimer that I learned, and it should be. So for us, this is like Mashiach's first mimer. This is our mimer, like of kind of receiving that. And it's really important, especially in our generation, to understand what that is, because we don't necessarily have the experience of it that the previous generations had with, we don't have that same kind of relationship with the Rebbe, which is spoken about in the mimer, different sorts of stages of a Rebbe, like between Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai, and like, and so it's really an important thing.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot. This mimer is long. There's a lot of stages to it, like you said. We're gonna choose like two ICIs of the mimer that we're gonna focus on that really sort of portray like one of the big contrasts that the mimer is trying to present in terms of like the generation that we live in. And what our unique Avida is versus previous generations. So we're going to like jump into Ice Dalid, focus on that a little bit, and then we're going to skip ahead to Ice Tess. Let's begin with Ice Dalid.
Okay, so the Rebbe asked a few questions at the beginning of the Mimer, just explaining what is... I mean, I guess it's important to go through the questions, okay? Like, it's asked, why are we saying that Moshe is commanding Bnei Israel? Because it would seem like Hashem is the commander. Why are we asking Moshe? And why are they bringing the oil to him if Aaron's the one that lights the menorah? And then why are we saying that why are we using the language for the luminary instead of to illuminate? And then why are we, this is just like very general, just catching up. And why are we saying he's going to light the menorah from tamid, like a constant flame versus from evening until morning? And that will come in like important piece at the end of the mimer of evening until morning, when the next pasuk says from evening till morning, and in this verse it says continuously. So like, what's the difference there? Then it's explained a little bit. The Rebbe starts teaching us actually the previous Rebbe's mimer that he said. V'kibel ha'yehudim. So the Rebbe, we start with the mimer, and within the mimer, there's like a couple of different mimerim. The first section is kind of the Rebbe is teaching us the previous Rebbe's mimer, and what is this stage, and what does the strength that like being connected to a Moshe Rabbeinu gives us, and what does it mean, tzitzaveh, like the does it mean commandment, or he says it means connection to the tzavta v'chibor. So then coming up on Mos Dalid, the Rebbe goes into it more and kind of explains to us this different stage of how we get to this place of revealing a deeper part of ourselves. So Vahine Haber Pasuk Vatit Tzava Baba Maimer Behemshech LeMevor B'Trilasa Maimer Deperos V'Kibul HaYehudim Es Asher HaHechil Lasos. So he's teaching us the previous Rebbe's Maimer, and he's saying to explain this Vatit Tzava, it comes in connection to what's explained at the beginning, that it's explaining and we accept it. It's at Purim, we accept it upon ourselves, but it was started at the time of the giving of the Torah. We accepted the Torah, we said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we'll do, and then we'll listen. And it said, but we didn't really, really accept the Torah until the times of Purim. So we're gonna explain how this is so. Et asher echel lasos. Hu shekibu ma shehechelu be'azman de'matan Torah. De'matan Torah, at the time of the giving of the Torah, ha'isah ha'aschala, it was only the beginning, echelu lasos. V'yimei ha'chashverush, at the time of ha'chashverush, b'zman g'zeras Haman, at the time of the decree of Haman, ha'isah ha'kabbalah. That was the time we really, really accepted the Torah. V'kibu ha'yehudim. It says it in the Megillah. V'al derech ma'amar azal ala pasuk, kimu v'kibu ha'yehudim, kimu ma shekiblu kvar. We accepted what we already received. We like actually did what we already had received. D'zeh shekdimu na'aseh l'nishma matan Torah, ha'isah rak ha'kabbalah. V'yimei ha'chashverush, kimu ma shekiblu. So when the fact that we said Na'aseh v'nishma, this was okay. We received it, but we didn't really fulfill that until the times of Haman. Midaik be'maimer, and it's specified in the maimer. Shelachora hu davar pela. Seems like a wondrous thing. The matan Torah hayu Yisrael b'tachlis ha'ili. The time of the giving of the Torah, we were at the greatest level. There was miracles, big miracles, and so it seems like that would be the biggest revelation of God was in the time that, like, we're known for, like, the Jews walk through the sea. There's, like, the Jews are taken out of Egypt. That's what we're known for. But like, it seems like the biggest thing. Vaya az etzlam gilui elokus b'dargah achin alis. There was the greatest revelation of God. Denosaf lezeh shagam kodem atan Torah hayu gilim na'alim b'yoser. Hagilui sheya b'yitzias Mitzrayim uprap kriyas yam suf. Hine hagilui sheya b'shas matan Torah haya gilui na'ale odioser. So we had all these revelations. We had the makos and we had the splitting of the sea. But the time of the giving of the Torah was even greater. It says it happened one time and that's never going to happen again, that kind of thing. And at the time of Ahasuerus, we were in the lowest level. And it was like this additional darkness is in every galus. The whole galus who bedugmas galus Mitzrayim. Every galus is an example of the galus of Mitzrayim. Uchamusha begalus Mitzrayim. See velo shamu el Moshe mikotzer ruach meavoda kasha. Says at the time of galus Mitzrayim, and this is like also like I find a very relevant point actually. Like I feel like it says velo shamu el Moshe mikotzer ruach meavoda kasha, and I feel like that's actually, I mean like nowadays I feel like it's actually like a very relevant thing. That point actually, because I feel like sometimes we're moving so fast, and like, what's Moshe? That's like our inner voice, and like, sometimes it's like we're doing this, and like, this is like kind of, I just like that, like, just always stands out for me that thing of like, we have a shortness of breath, like, we're not able to just like stop and listen, like, where am I actually supposed to be? So, it's like a thing that's relevant in like all the galuses, but I guess that's like kind of a side point, but not really.
Right, just that line, just to translate the line you read, right? Velosha, like, they couldn't listen to Maisha because they were so, like, overworked and, like, short of breath. But yeah, I totally relate to that, that, like, sometimes you're just so caught up with, like the tedious day-to-day tasks of life that you don't have, like, the presence of mind to like, tune in to what's actually important. Okay, so we just explained that, like, with Gus Mitzrayim is this time when the Jewish people are so caught up with the harsh labor of the slavery that they don't have the ability to listen to Maisha's voice, right? And then we're seeing right. that other every Gullis right. really has is like similar to that in some sense.
Right. Yeah. All derech zehu b'chol gullis. Sheishnam kama nisyonos b'kiyum Torah mitzvos. Because in every gullis, there's some sort of challenge in doing Torah mitzvos. Hinei az b'zvan gzeiras Haman haya helim v'hester od yozer. But in the times of Haman, it was even more so. V'af al pichin, and nevertheless, b'zman matan Torah, at the time of the giving of Torah, k'sheyu Yisrael b'tachlis ha'ilu, when Israel was at the high, when we were at the highest state, ha'isav rakas chala hechilu asos. It was only the beginning. That wasn't the main thing. It was just the very beginning. V'zman gzeiras Haman, at the time of Haman, when we were at the lowest place, k'sheyu b'tachlis ha'shiflos, with the very lowest level, Azdavka kibu mashayechilu b'matan Torah. That was, and it was specifically then that we accepted what we received at Matan Torah. It's interesting because it says there's so many things about the times of Hanan and how dark it was for us. Like, I think I heard in a class once that it said, like, had Haman not thrown a goral, like, it would be the one time that we really messed up enough. Like, we were at a very low level, but, like, Haman, that Hashem knew what he was doing. Like, had Haman not said, I'm just going to go to some crazy level where it doesn't really make sense, and, like, had we not gone to that place that was so deep within us, from what we were doing and where we were in our relationship in the world, it was totally opposite of Matan Torah. We were, like, according to nature, like, so it we were not in a good place. So, but saying that when we were in that low place, and we were in that low place, that we reached a higher level than we had reached when we were in the high place of getting the Torah is like a very significant thing. Explained in this, the Vizman Hagzera, at the time of the decree, Hayakium HaTorah Mitzvah Shalahem B'Mesiras Nefesh, because at the time of the decree, we did Torah and Mitzvahs with Mesiras Nefesh. Denosaf Lezeh, Shayalahem Mesiras Nefesh, Shalo Yichlipor, Chas V'Shalom, Kamavo, Arbatora Ora, Shabaim Hayu, Amirim Dasam, Lo Hayu Osim Lahem Klum, Ki Hagzera Hisabrak Al Yehudim, because it says, so the Alter Rebbe says that had we, we were split up. We actually became Yehudim at the time of Purim. We weren't called Yehudim until the time of Purim. And like a Yehudi was somebody that kind of wouldn't, had we just like given up our faith, we would have been okay. It wasn't like later in the Holocaust, Hitler didn't care, Mach Shemo. But like at that point, if we had said, okay, whatever, we would have been fine. But we didn't. We stood firm and we became even stronger. Because it was ki hagzera haisav rak al Yehudim, v'af al pichin lo al dasam machsheves chas v'shalom. Like, but nevertheless, we couldn't even think of leaving it. Hayalahem mesiras nefesh gam al kiyum haTorah mitzvos, v'ad sheikilu kehilus barabim lamod Torah b'mesiras nefesh. And we had mesiras nefesh do Torah mitzvos, and to the point that we, in public, gathered groups in public to learn Torah was mesiras nefesh. And the arousal of this Mesiras Nefesh was through Mordechai, Moshe Shebedoro, and Mordechai is the Moshe in his generation. The Zehu v'kibol Hayehudim esasher chilul lasos, and this that we received, that we began to do, the Matan Torah haisa rakas chala, and that we received it in Matan Torah was just the beginning. And at the time of Vizman Zeras Haman haisa kabbalah, but the time of Haman we really. That was like really we received it. Ki alidei shayalahem az mesiras nefesh befall, because we had like actual mesiras nefesh al Torah mitzvos on Torah mitzvos nisatlu beinyan zeh, we like were elevated the madrega nales yoser mikamoshe yubik zman matan Torah. We were elevated to an even higher level. V'lachin az davka haisa kabbalah bekibul hayudim. It was specifically then that it said that we received it. So, and you would think actually at the Pesach Seder this year, I was actually like, after like eating all that matzah and whatever, and I was like feeling it, I was like, wow, like Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's like a somatic experience. Like Moshe's the first shepherd that feeds us faith, and like spiritually, there was a thing of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Like Avraham Avinu was eating matzah on that day because there's a spiritual truth to Yetzias Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan. It's like this is Yetzias Mitzrayim, but. Moshe Rabbeinu is such a Raya Behemna that he's like, here, we're going to leave Egypt and I'm going to show you what that means. Like, here's the land, it's actually called Egypt, and like, we're going to go out of it. We had like, we physically, spiritually, every other year from all time, we're doing that thing of leaving our constraints and leaving Egypt. But like with Moshe Rabbeinu, the way he fed us faith was like, we had the physical, actual experience. You couldn't deny that we left Egypt. We like lived in a place called Egypt and we left that place called Egypt. The time of Mordechai, it was all a parable. Like, it was all like, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. It's a time of total darkness. We have Ahasuerus, we're in a place, we're trying to fit in. And still, and in that time, we reached a higher level than we did at the time where we actually like left. It's proving to us that all that time that we spent with Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, being like, is this real? Is this gonna stick? Or like, is this really who you are? Like, we really, it came out in the time of Purim when there was nothing, because there was nothing that was telling us that story, nothing giving it to us. The only thing that was telling us that story was like something within us. And it was Mordechai that was able to arouse that within us at that time. So
No, I was gonna say, I think it's just a very like relatable concept that like, you know, even in any relationship, like when you face a certain challenge or conflict, it brings out something much deeper, right? And again, obviously when you're in that low place in the relationship, like it seems much less glorious or, you know, romantic or whatever than like that high point. But I think like in retrospect, you could see how that actually like sort of uncovered something much deeper and more profound about it. And I think in general in life, like whenever you face like a crisis or something, right? Like it sort of brings out a certain strength that you didn't know that you had, right? Like all of a sudden things that used to be like a big deal, right? When you're in crisis mode, like you can get past all of it, you know? Right. 'Cause you know, like this is something that's really important to me.
Right.
And that's sort of what this is about. It's like, yeah, you know,
right.
Purim was this time of like this crisis mode. And we were like, we're just going to like go all out and like have this extreme sacrifice. And even though like on a conscious level, we're on a much less, you know, spiritual level than we were at Matan Torah, like there's something much more profound about that relationship that we expressed during the times of Purim.
Yeah, and it's totally true. It's like a they say tried and true, like a foundation of something. Like you have to test something before you're gonna build on it. And it's kind of like that same sort of thing of like, yeah, when something's like been through whatever, like something deeper comes out that wouldn't have otherwise. So yeah, it's something like it comes up in like lots of places in life. Very true.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so but now we're gonna take this whole thing a step deeper. So all that was just the beginning of the mind, but we're now gonna get into like, okay, but what's the next level, the next stage of what we're really, our generation's really all about? And for that, we're gonna skip ahead to ICE tests.
So within this flow, the Rebbe is kind of showing us the difference between Matan Torah and the time of Ahasuerus, being like Matan Torah, we accepted the Torah, but like we had all of these miracles. We were madly in love with Hashem. He revealed himself to us and like we had no choice. Like he says he held the mountain over our head. Like he showed us that there's only him. We had no choice. It was just he swept us off our feet. We were madly in love. And Rebbe speaks about how like there's different kind of levels of essence of the soul. There's our part of us that's like our mazel that can kind of sense the truth and see above. And when we experience revelation, and it's a way of like, there's something in it for me, it's good for me, we're gonna choose that. But that kind of says that then there's a deeper level of the soul. And it's a part that doesn't experience necessarily revelation, but it's just like an essential truth. And it's like, I just can't be parted from who I actually am. And he says that this thing that doesn't lend itself to revelation, that's just an essential truth, is reached specifically through Maseiros Nefesh. It cannot be reached. In the first part of the Maamar, he's explaining it. He says it cannot be reached through the revelations because the revelations are kind of, how he's explaining up until Tess is like the revelations are kind of a distraction from it. If it's good for me, it's always about me. If it's only as far as I can perceive it, then what happens? We can't perceive it and we freak out because I don't see it there. So is it really true? Is it really me? If we're always looking for something external to validate, like what happens when I don't get that? But, and then, so the Rebbe then speaks about when a person's in a place of Maseiros Nefesh, like, so he talks about the times of Ahasuerus, and also with the, as he's teaching us the Friedrich Rebbe's Maamar, it's also in Soviet Russia and that. So when there's time where, like, you can't keep Torah mitzvos, and we should never know those. And then we're pushed to a place where it's revealed, where we're forced to reveal that, like, this is our true being. We don't, like, but we're forced to reveal it because our external is so unpleasant and we're so oppressed. And when we're so oppressed, it will come out that this is what we choose. And then the Rebbe starts, so this is like how he explains, like the level of Maseiras Nefesh, it reaches something that's the essence of the soul. So like you have like the essence of the soul, we say like essence is higher than revelation. It kind of doesn't lend itself to revelation. And then the Rebbe sort of starts going into his own, like the chiddush starts coming when the Rebbe says, wait, but there's something even more. There's something even more than just my essence is pushed out. Because when just my essence is pushed out, it's still lacking something because it was pushed out without me. Like it was pushed out because I had no choice because I was up against the wall and I was forced. So I had to overcome my body and I have to overcome how I feel and I have to overcome everything good. And I had to, like, that was good for me in a physical way. And I was forced to come to a place that I didn't even know, a deeper place that I didn't even know existed. And it was all through a bitter situation. But and then the Rebbe kind of brings us into Geula and says, okay, but now that we learned how to do that, like, what does it really mean? What's it all for? Because still in that other way, when we're pushed in that way, we didn't change our panemius faculties. When you have no choice and it's do or die and you're forced to flee a country that's oppressing you, you don't have time to do all of that internal avoda. It kind of happens for you. Your higher faculties take over. It's like the mother and the that can lift the car because the baby's under it. So like you just totally overcome yourself and you transcend yourself. But does that really stick? So that's like kind of where he's going, and he's going to kind of bring us to what this avoda means for us nowadays, because we're not supposed to go through that kind of, like, we're not supposed to have that kind of Maseiras Nefesh. We're not supposed to, but it means something different for us these days.
Okay, so what we have is, we have the level of Matan Torah, which is all about, on the one hand, it's a very lofty level, and we're in this very, very intimate, close relationship with Hashem, but it's all about experience. It's all about our very sort of intense godly experience during that time. And then we have the next level, which is a deeper level, which is the time of Purim, or we could say in a more modern parallel would be the time of the Friedrich Rebbe, Soviet Russia, right? You know, times of very intense oppression of the Jewish people when our faith is really challenged. And at that point, it sort of cuts to the core of who we are because we're facing those challenges and we're not having that experience of Hashem that sort of uncovers an even deeper part of the neshama, which is feels connected to Hashem, not just because of its experience of Hashem, but because of its identity, right? It sort of reveals this core identity, this connection to Hashem that lies at the core of who we are. But now we're going to go sort of take that even step even deeper and say, well, even that isn't really the most essential expression of our relationship with Hashem. And that's what we're going to get to. Okay.
V'hinei akasuv v'kibul ha'yehudim es asher ha'chilu la'asos medaber b'pashtus be'azman shalach harei ha'nes t'purim. Right? Because it says, where does it say v'kibul ha'yehudim? In the Megillah, it's after the miracle of Purim, it says v'kibul ha'yehudim. So it says it's specifically talking about the time that's after the miracle. V'yesh lomar, so it can be said, did masha kasuv be'amaymar d'perush v'kibul ha'yehudim es asher ha'chilu la'asos. So it can be that what it says in the Maimer, the explanation of the Kibbul HaYehudim as a Sherech Hilul HaSos, what we began to receive what we began to do. Who Shabimei Hashveros Kibbul Mashehilul Matan Torah. So it says like we said earlier that the times of Hashveros we really received what we received at Matan Torah. We really like established it. We did it. Who Gam Lefi Pashtus Akasuv Sheva Kibbul Gomar Hayala Acharei Hanes. So it's even after the miracle that happened on Purim, because that's where it says it is after the miracle that we really, really received it.
But like, I feel like this is so profound, and I feel like I've seen this in like a few mamarim of the Rebbe, where like when he tries to, when he brings up like a novelty, like a new understanding of like a pasuk or like a medrash or whatever it is, like I think what's so profound about this is that we don't like come up with this new explanation that's like this far-fetched, like metaphoric interpretation. We actually go back to the literal meaning, right? Like we're saying like, oh, but if you look at when is that pasuk actually said, right? Like when is the, if you read it in the Megillah, like I started noticing this after learning this Maamar, every time you read the Megillah on Purim, I actually start noticing like, oh yeah, that pasuk, if you actually see where it shows up in the Megillah, it shows up like after the whole thing is over, the whole story is over. It's not when they're oppressed. They're not oppressed anymore. Like, they won the war. Haman is, and his sons are hanged. Everything's fine. And that's where the pasuk shows up. And it's like, if you go back to, like, what does the pasuk actually literally mean in the context, that's actually going to give you the deepest understanding of what it's about, right? Like, not, like, let's, like, it's almost like we, this metaphorical interpretation is nice, but, like, you get the deepest understanding when you go back to the simple pshat. Like, what's the actual literal understanding of it? Anyway, I just thought that was like,
perfect. Right. Yeah, no, it's a really actually good point. It's like back to that, like, literal, like, here, this is what this is. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and like the deepest understanding, the deepest meaning of what it is, like, the deepest meaning of what it is going to, like, is going to express itself in the pshat. Like, everything, like, every part of the Torah, like, every aspect of that pasuk is going to express that deepest core meaning of what it is, right?
Yeah, wow, yeah. Exactly. Wow. That's cool that is like the theme of it. I didn't think about that. Wow. So he's going to explain two things. This that we received in times of Achashverosh, what we started at Matan Torah, there's two things. So there's what we received when there was a decree against us. And this is like the times of the Friedrich Rebbe, because there was mamish, a decree and bad things, and there was need for actual Maseiros Nefesh. And then there was the Kabbalah that was after the miracle Purim. So what we did after the decree was over, and based on Haman is given to Esther, that we actually received it then, when we weren't being threatened, it's even higher than what we received while we were being threatened.
Right, that was one piece that we sort of missed last time, which is that whole concept of that Avaida of Mysterious Nefesh bringing out the essence of the Neshama is actually expressed in this pasuk of Vata Tetzavos Bnei Yisrael. That phrase, Kasis Lamar, sort of as a symbol of that concept of the olive, right, is crushed, and then when it's crushed, it becomes a luminary, right? The process of crushing a person, right, brings out the essence of who they are. That's sort of the idea. Okay, so now let's see how we understand that concept of Kasis Lamar in this context when we're sort of going to that next deeper level.
Okay, so Kishi Israel in Sam Matzav Shel Kasis, Mitzad Zeh, Sheishnam Zeros, Al Kim Atoro Mitzvos, Kamosha Yabizman Amiras HaMarmar. When Israel were found in a situation of being crushed because there's decrees against stuff and doing Torah and Mitzvos, like the way it was when the Friedrich Rebbe said his Maimer Vakibo HaYehudim. But Ayadeh Zeh Magim LaAmar, Ayadeh Masiris Nefesh Shalahem. And through being crushed externally, and it was, in the time of Friedrich Rebbe, it was like physically we're being crushed because of we're like Mamash being oppressed and against like doing Torah mitzvahs, we're crushed externally, so we came to a deeper place. But just even generally in life, like there's being crushed externally, and so we come to a deeper place. The Odinyan, because it's the Maor, Shagam Kishrael Nimsaim, but Matsav Shal Harchava, Harchava Begashmius Gam, Harchava Baruchinius. More when we're found in a place of expansiveness, we have much in spirituality and we have much in physically and we have much spiritually. Ela shem nimtzayim bagalus, but we're found in exile. The al derech hamatzav sheyala achrei hanes de purim shela hudim haisa or of a simcha v'sum v'ikar bepashtus v'gam beruchnius v'yaser mizah shegam beis haman nitan laester haya ad gam hamelodes hapcha. So like and this is the situation we're found in at the end of the Purim story, where everything is transformed and Haman's one of the richest people in the world. Haman's fortune is given over to Esther. And we have everything, but we're still in Galus. We're still not able to build a Mizbegnash. We're still serving Achashverosh. Avdei Achashverosh Anan. So even though we were still serving Achashverosh, even though we transformed all of the darkness of that we could, all of the things into light, we still didn't have our sovereignty. Ham shvurim vidkaim kasis mizesh ham begalus, and we're broken by this because we're in galus. But ayde akasis to Yisrael mizesh imsayim begalus magim lamar, and this that we're broken not because externally we're suffering or we're lacking this or we're lacking that or we can't serve Hashem or we can't do Torah mitzvahs or we don't have enough physically or anyway. It's not through those things that we become broken, because those physical lacks and need, they will break us, but when we're broken, not because we're lacking those things, but we're broken actually, and we see it a lot nowadays, because we have everything and we're still feeling empty. We have everything and we're missing something. And I think it's also like very important to understand what it is that we're missing, because it gives us a lot of direction. But like the Rebbe is talking here about, like at the end, talking here about then and now, when everything's transformed into good, we have all, and like look at America. I mean, we have everything, every physical thing you possibly want, like in abundance. And we have all the time in the world to do, we have total freedom. It's like, but we're still broken. And why are we broken? I think actually, personally, I think that like a lot of our vote is to understand and like why we're broken. Because I think a lot of us feel the brokenness, but I think we don't always understand like why and how to connect it. But that's just my own little thing.
Okay. This is that we're broken. Israel's broken because of we're in Galus. Gam kashiyesh lahem archava begashmius v'ruchnius. Even we have everything in physicality and spirituality. Who ki ratzon ha'amidi shel kol echad miYisrael hu sheyegilu elokus. It's because the true desire of every Jew is that there be a revelation of godliness. Va'ad shezegilu elokus nogeala etzem mitziyuso, until it's a revelation of godliness that touches the essence of his being. V'lachen zeh shebizman ha'galus ein meir gilu elokus kamo sheyabizman ha'bayis. And so this, the fact that in exile, he doesn't have a revelation of it doesn't have the same revelation that he has in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Reprat keshamit bonen bazeh, shamru razal, kol mi shalo nivne Beis HaMikdash b'yanav, harei zeh kilidach rabiyamav. And the sages say that every person in this generation that the Beis HaMikdash isn't built, it's as though it was destroyed in his time. Hine mizeh asmo is in gansin sutrails. From this, he's completely broken. Kasis v'gam keshehu badarga na leis b'yosir, even when it's the highest level, shemei irat so gilei okus bedugmas hagilei sheya bizman ha'bayis. And even if it's the highest level, that for him himself, he experiences a revelation of godliness the way that it was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. He's experiencing God's unity and a revelation of God. And there's the story of Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk that lived with Mashiach to the point that when there was a shofar and they're saying Mashiach is here, he had to stick his head out the window and smell to see if it was really true. Because by him, he always had Mashiach. Mikol mako, nevertheless, mizesh shipi klalusa olam en me'ir guli. This, because in the rest of the world, there's not this revelation. Mukach shagam ha'gili shema'ir etzlo hu gili mugbal. So, and we have to say that the revelation that's by him, it's also limited. De kashe'ir gili or etzov ha'blig vuol ha'gili hu b'kol makom. When the revelation of God that shines without any limit, it's in every single place. Ukshechno makam achad apilu pina nidachas she'en mir meir gil sham gilis elokus. So even when there's one tiny corner that's lacking this revelation of Hashem, so even by this person that's living in a way of Mashiach, and he's living in a way of personal geula, if there's one tiny point in the world where it's lacking this revelation, then his own geula isn't complete. And like we talk about this later in the Maamar also, about like the unity of the Jewish people, and the Rebbe goes into it more about how it's not just overcoming our body and recognizing that our soul is primary, it's also in things that are relevant to the body. So one person's geula is there's geula klalis and there's geula pratis, but a person's geula pratis isn't complete unless every single person, unless all, the entire world and every single person experiences that geula. Like all of our simchas are lacking if like we can't all be within the whole thing together. Because it needs to be something that's relevant to us. I don't remember who I heard say it, but it's a really good analogy of like you go to your best friend's wedding and you're like, you're going to have the best time. It's amazing. But like Mashiach isn't your best friend's wedding. It's like your own wedding. Like it has to be so relevant to you that it's your own simcha. Yeah, we're all happy when something happens for our friend. But it's like when it's happening, but this is like happening to you. And we need to all be in a way where like, this is personal. It's happening like to me. Who bezehu masha muva b'mamar admar azake. This is what the Elder Rebbe says. The isa batikudim. This shafilu im hayat tzadik echad chuzer b'tshuva shleima b'dor hayabah b'shiach. So he says that even if one tzaddik returns in complete tshuva in his generation, Mashiach will come. Ki al de tshuva shleima mamshichim gilui or insofa bli gvul. Because through complete tshuva is drawn down a revelation of the infinite without any limit. The gilui zehu b'kol makom. And this revelation is in every place. And this, I like I've focused on this, where he says, like, he's not saying, like, the Baal Tshuva, like, has to fix all the things he's doing wrong. He's saying, like, tzadik echad, meaning, like, we're a person, like, refined person. We have all of our needs met, and even more, though, because we're talking about times where we have everything we need in Gashmius and in Ruchnius, a person that's complete and has all of his needs met. But he's lacking, and when his lack is not for anything, but for the revelation of God, his lack is just for a Beis HaMikdash. He's hurting for a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. He's hurting for that personal connection with Hashem. And I mean, I see it. Like, I don't know if I said earlier, like, we see it nowadays. I feel like we see this existential pain, and it's like heartbreaking. But this like kind of having, and we, I mean, I feel like we see it all the time. We just don't always know. What that pain is about. Mizesh ain meir etzlo gilui atzmus or ein sof hu nish bar nitev. Because he doesn't have this revelation of atzmus, of the essence of Hashem, he's broken. Kasis ba'al derech ha'idua shechule begematria memtes shegam shemesiga memtes shari bina ela shechaser lo sharanun hu chule. So you want to go into that more? It says even a person like is experiencing the 49 gates of understanding, but he's missing the 50th, he's considered chola. He's considered sick. Do you want to go into that more?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, like 50. Yeah, like 49 means you're missing only one level, right? You're only like one step short of being complete. And that's when that's the gematria of chola. Like, that's when you really feel that you're sick. Meaning, like, you can only really get a real appreciation for what you're actually lacking when everything else is complete. Like, when everything else in your life comes together and, like, you're not missing anything else except for that one core essential thing, that's when you really realize, like, where the sickness lies. Like, what's actually missing in my life.
Wow, yeah. And that's, like, where the Rebbe is, like, leading us on this, it's where he's exactly like where he's taking us on this. It's like, yeah, the more, because I think we sometimes think it's the opposite. Like, I'm feeling pain and therefore I must be this. But it's like, it's not necessarily always the case. It's interesting. He translated here. I don't want any rotzeh ganel shalcha, any rotzeh olam haba shalcha, any rotzeh ani rotzeh rak l'tcha b'atzmecha. I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want your olam haba. I just want you alone. And this was like the sickness of the Alter Rebbe, like rolling on the floor. It's like this love sickness, this thirst to be connected just to essence, to our real selves, to like really just have this connection with Hashem. But and because we heard this from Al Tiyatara, but the Perish Hayanishma who shazeh haya lo rak bizmanin miyuchadim, ela shazeh haya adara haragil. And it wasn't just at specific times, this was a regular thing of the Alter Rebbe. This was the state of his being, was that he lived in this way of like this thirst to be connected. And this is, I think this next part is actually an important thing for like all of us, because sometimes we, like this next part, and so specifically after this is made known to us through the Tzemach Tzedek, because we're told this about the Alter Rebbe, we're not being told it to be told how great the Alter Rebbe is. That's one level is. We're being told to know how great the Alter Rebbe was. But we're giving the koch to access this within ourselves. Like, whenever we're given a directive or told a story, we're also given the koch to reach a deeper place or to fulfill the directive. But akadei kach, to such an extent, Shekesha ain me ir gilui ze, mikol shekin, bizman agolo she ain me ir hagilui, agilui, afilu agilui, gilui or she yabizman abayis. And so that this, he doesn't have this connection, the fact that he doesn't have this. And even like when he doesn't even have the revelation that it was at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, who must have the kassitz, he's completely broken. So he asked, you know, three times a day, we got three times a day or more, asked every day that their eyes behold the return of your, like your return to Zion in mercy. So this, we found ourselves in Golis, we come to the luminary. Because the real desire of every Jew is a revelation of godliness. And this touches the essence of his being. And for this, he's completely broken. And because this is the time of Golis, there's not a revelation of God. The way that the Rebbe was walking through it and telling us that we can get to the essence of the soul by, we can either have this like revelation from above, we're getting Moshe Rabbeinu, we're getting these miracles and we're reaching a higher level. But that's not quite as deep as when we get to the essence of the soul, because we're in a place where we're having difficulties, external difficulties, and even sometimes like internal difficulties. We can't serve Hashem the way we want. We can't, we don't have all the, whatever we want. We're actually oppressed, like in real ways. Then we come to a place of like Mesiras Nefesh, and the Rebbe's talking here about, we don't have any of those difficulties. We don't have any of those, thank God we're in a place where we can live expansively. We can live freely. We have what we need in abundance, and we're still in pain. What are we broken for? What are we thirsting for? And like we're thirsting for this like revelation of, but it's like more we're thirsting for like this connection with Hashem, and like I feel like it's really like we've learned. Like, as we follow kind of the step of the mimer, like, we kind of learned sort of that, like, what we were doing before, it wasn't for nothing. Like, we've all been through, we've all been through times where we've been, pushed externally or had something external that felt like we were lacking and or whatever, and we had to, like, push ourselves to a different place or something deeper came out in us that we didn't know existed before. But then, like, when we come to a place, and, like, the Rebbe goes on to speak about this also later in the mind, we come to a place where then that thing is gone, that external thing is gone, and now we have everything in an expansive way. And so, and because what we're trying to get to the bottom of is, like, how do we get this revelation of Mesiras Nefesh, of that I'm overcoming my whole being to connect to the essence of my soul? How do I get that to be my everyday? How do I get my potential to become my actual state of being? And so, like, he's saying here, like, what, and I don't know, Hadassah, what are your thoughts on it? Like, I really feel like we experience this feeling now. We just don't know how to call it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's so profound about this idea, and this is sort of what the continuation of the Maamar is going to say, is that, in a sense, so there's that stage of the relationship when you're on this a high, right? And you're having this very intense experience of love and appreciation of the other person. And then there's something sort of deeper that comes out when you're in this circumstance of pressure or opposition or conflict, right? And that sort of triggers something much deeper, much more essential. But both of those things, both of those states are something, are an external circumstance that's sort of pushing out a certain element of the relationship. And the goal here is to get to a place where what's triggering this core relationship between us is nothing external at all, right? It's coming completely from within ourselves, from the core of who we are. Right, that's like the ultimate, and the goal with sort of our generation, right? Sort of what we're trying to access is this ability to say, well, we don't need anything external, whether it's positive or negative, to reveal that essence, to reveal that core, essential identity of the Jew. We can generate it completely from within ourselves, right? It's kind of like in the relationship, like an ordinary Wednesday when nothing is going on, I should be able to access the core of what our relationship is about. I don't need something external to me, you know, to sort of push that out of me. It can come purely from within. And that's sort of the deepest, most profound level of the relationship.
Yeah, and I think that like that, that also like, and like how it goes on also to speak about how like the, it's really like the connection to the Rebbe actually brings us out in us. Like, it, do you see that in your life? Like how, like being connected to the Rebbe, like it makes you more sensitive to this. Do you experience that? It's not my place. Do you know what I mean?
Tell me more. Wait,
because like the steps of the mimer is like the. I'm saying like the steps of the mimer the Rebbe is talking about. Because I know go on and speak about how like why is this the order of it? Why is it that they're bringing it to Moshe? Kasi's Lamar. Like, why specifically is through this connection? Because you go on to speak about like why this specific order? Why is it you're bringing Shema to Moshe and then like Kasi's Lamar? Like what like is this? I think that. I mean, I don't know, but I think that, you know, when we, but like, I guess I do, I felt it like when I first moved to Israel, actually, and I don't know what it was. It was like, I felt like, I would like feel this like pain. I don't know, like sometimes like the closer we come to ourselves, sometimes it's like we can feel like those levels of kind of who we thought we were like melting away. And sometimes it's like a little bit of an ego death. And I think that like when we become more, like the more that we like work on our Hishkashos and like connection to the Rebbe, the more we come closer to our true self. And like something there can be, it doesn't have to be necessarily that something bad is happening and you have an ego death by being like shamed or anything like external, but like, I mean, we've all been through something like that. But I'm saying just like on a more internal level of just kind of feeling like, you know, do you ever like when we become more connected, we kind of stop being able to like lie to ourselves more. Like we have to kind of own up to like our truth a little more. And I feel like it's kind of what makes us more sensitive to this. I think it makes us more sensitive to, I think it can be like kind of painful. It can bring us more to that place of deeper and also wanting to be deeper, a place like of like kind of realizing like whatever external things, I mean, everything is like whatever, wherever I was yesterday, like it's not, I can't just like play the same tape, the same thing and like be that again today. I have to like choose to like do it all over again and to like live all over again. Does that make sense? It's like not so practical.
Well, I think what this looks like practically, like to me, like living with the idea of this mimer in a very practical sense is that like Judaism feels very natural to you. It's not superimposed like in any way. It's not like when I'm in a very inspired state or when I'm going through like extreme suffering or extreme pain, that's when I like feel more, you know, spiritually attuned. Like living with this mimer means that it's very a natural part of who I am in a very like normal way. Like to me, that's what I feel like is like the most like, that's how I have experienced
right.
it.
Right, I like how you put that because it's like sometimes like the drama, cause I'm like addicted to the drama. Like I'm going through this and then I reach this deeper part and this is more like, that's like actually, and then that's where it goes to at the end when the Rebbe speaks like the last part, the Me'erev Ad Boker, because what's Erev is a time of darkness where we don't have revelation. And through that hard part, we come to a place of Boker, we come to a place of morning. Boker is light, Boker is revelation. And that's what the Rebbe's saying and he says at the end like, and people, it said sometimes, like, we can be in a time of darkness, we come to time of mourning, and we didn't take with us all the skills we learned in the darkness, so we're not applying it to the time of day. And that's why it says here, la'alos ner tamid, to raise an eternal flame. It's not me'erev ha'boker. Me'erev ha'boker means I'm in a time of darkness, and then I come to a time of light. But tamid means I took all of the skills and the depth that I acquired in the darkness, and I can just live with it on a consistent basis. So I don't have to seek drama. I don't have to seek external suffering. I've learned how to live. It's like that kind
right,
of.
Right, I think it's that,
like those are the tools, the, kind of. But
and the fact that you could live in the daytime, right, in that like normal like time when there's no oppression and it's just life is good. The reason why you could live with that from that same essential place is because it's coming really from within. It's not coming as a result of that external pressure. Right, like the whole point was that like the people who you know lived in that time of oppression and then they moved to America and like may not have you know had that same level of Mesiras Nefesh anymore, once they lived in a place that gave them every liberty in the world, was because in a sense like that like commitment that they demonstrated in the time of darkness wasn't really coming from within. It was coming as a result of this external pressure, right? And, like, how do we really, prove to ourselves that where it's coming from is from within is when it's not only in a time of crisis. It's not only in a time of oppression. Like, it could be just part of our normal lives all the time. And I like the word you use, drama. Like our spiritual life doesn't have to be dramatic, right? Being Jewish doesn't have to be dramatic, right? Like, we can feel that this is who we are. Like, when life is not dramatic, right? Just on a regular day, that's, like, this, we could have this sense of, like, this is my identity, this is who I am.
Right. Like, don't have to prove it. I don't have to prove it to myself by, like, creating a drama.
Right.
Like, those things, it's really applicable. I feel like, the more, like, I've learned it, the more that time's gone on, it's, like, really, it's, the more I see, like, how perfect it is for these times, for us. Like, everything's that way, but really it's like spot on, just like, you know how to live, you don't have to look for any external thing, like we're all experiencing it. And like, and it's really when we have all those things, when we have everything that we want spiritually, physically, then we can actually start serving Hashem in a real way. Like, it's a real thing that, like, we're always gonna wanna be closer to Hashem. That's like how those, the curses in Torah are reversed to blessing, is like when you're the eating and not being satisfied is like when you're thirsting for godliness and you're not satisfied, it's like it's a pleasure thing. It's not in a way of pain. So it's like when we are connected to our true selves, then we can live in that way.
Nice. Thank you so much, Adina. And I encourage everyone who's listening to learn the full mimer inside. We just gave a glimpse, but there's definitely a lot more detail and complexity to uncover. So enjoy.